This is New York's Asset Protection Roundtable with Ted Alatsis of Alatsis Law Firm. Our mission at Alatsis Law Firm is to assist you with the three pillars of protection: preserving your assets, providing you help, and protecting your future.
Well, hello and welcome in to New York's Asset Protection Roundtable, a three pillars of protection program. He's Ted Alatsis, attorney and counselor at Alatsis Law Firm there in Brooklyn, New York. I am Ben George, and got a good show for you today. We're going to talk about the medical side of things, the medical information you need to know when you're crafting your estate plan. It's a big part of the estate planning process, and we want to make sure that you take care of all the details along the way. The medical is a big part of that. So we'll go through that today on the show. Ted, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Ben. Weather's starting to change and sun's starting to come out, so we're looking forward to an early spring, I hope.
Have you guys had any snow this year?
We had a couple of flurries the other day, and that's about it. Latest it's been in New York history for first snowfall. So wow. Yeah, we haven't really had any.
And you've been in New York most of your life, or all of your life, right?
The entirety of my life.
Do you remember anything like this in terms of snow?
So the records that I saw, I think we had a situation similar to this maybe 20 some odd years ago. But that was like late January. We surpassed that several weeks ago, and I think we finally had our first recorded snowfall recently, but it was just a trace. It was nothing, nothing from nothing, as we say.
This will probably one of those years where April you'll get a big snowstorm or something like that later.
Yeah, that's what we quietly kid. Yes,
opening day will be canceled because of snowstorms, maybe.
It's happened before.
Well, looking forward to jumping into this conversation with you today. If you have questions for Ted and his team, you can always log on first, alatsislawfirm.com, alatsislawfirm.com, or you can always call 718-233-2903. All the podcasts are up there as well, plus great videos and other content and resources that'll help you out as you prepare for your estate planning process. But again, we're talking about medical information you need to know. And, many people go through the estate planning process to provide for their loved ones and to allow someone to make decisions on their behalf if they fall ill. But there are some specific situations and decisions, usually medical, that a person's going to need to address during the process. And if you've ever stepped into this and been blindsided by it, it can feel like a lot. It can almost feel like a medical school exam as you kind of go through the list of items. So we want to cover some of these common decisions you're going to be faced with when you have to prepare your own estate. So first thing on here, Ted, on our list, we got five to kind of touch on, is the HIPAA authorization and release of information. So what do you need to know here, and what should you be prepared for?
So, so a lot of people have heard of HIPAA, and essentially what HIPAA is a federal statute that protects the privacy of your medical records. So without any specific authorization, no one else can actually get those medical records, and, failing to properly delegate someone with that authority can prevent them from having the ability to get your medical records, maybe get a second opinion for you if you're incapable of handling it for yourself, that sort of thing. So HIPAA is a big thing, and it really is there to protect your privacy.
Yeah, it is a big thing, and I think I meet most people are just aware of what it is. Are there any good practices with this in order to as you kind of get this added to your estate, or as you're discussing this with your attorney, anything to really be prepared for?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that we certainly recommend is a HIPAA authorization where you kind of waive some of that confidentiality in writing, giving certain people authority in your family, presumably in your family, to be able to obtain records when you're incapable of doing so on your own. And that's important because let's say you're a person's healthcare agent and you're the one to make a medical decision and you're not really sure whether, the opinion that the doctor is giving you is appropriate. You want to get a second opinion. The only way that's going to happen is if you have access to those records. So having access to those records is a very important, part of the decision-making process. So, it's a good practice to have a lawyer, prepare, a form that actually contains that waiver, making it, possible for, your spouse or your children to be able to get those records for you.
Okay. Second one on our list here, organ donation. I always thought this was just something you add to your driver's license, but I guess it goes much deeper, huh?
Yeah, it can. And certainly, there are lots of ways to take care of organ donation. But, one of the things we certainly recommend if someone's, interested in doing that, is being very specific in their healthcare proxy with regards to organ donation. You know, it's obvious it's a personal preference that people have, but we certainly, you know, recommend being very specific in your healthcare proxy with regards to that.
So is that just a simple yes or no, or is it more detailed?
All right. The forms that we prepare or the documents that we prepare are much more specific than that, certainly. They can be very general as well, but certainly, you know, we try to specify, you know, what it is that that someone who wants to be an organ donor can donate.
Okay. So you can choose to say yes to it or say, hey, I want to leave this and this, but not this.
Sure. Okay. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Gotcha. All right. Next is full body donation. So the ability to donate your entire body, I guess this has to be for research or medical purposes, right?
That's exactly right. And what you want to do in that scenario is certainly check with the institution beforehand as to what their procedures are and would be in that scenario. So you definitely want to clarify that before you draw any documents up saying you're going to, you know, donate your body to science, so to speak. You certainly want to kind of, you know, get that clarified well in advance so that the procedures are followed, the way the institution would like them followed, as well as maximizing the benefit of your donation.
So if anyone that's ever thought about doing a full body donation and would like to help science purposes, they need to actually find a school, an institution, or somewhere. They can't just say, hey, I want to leave my body for research and then let people figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. You want to be very specific in something like that. Absolutely.
Okay. Artificial life support, another big one here, in trying to figure out what your wishes are and lay that down. I guess this has got to be difficult to think through, and nobody wants to kind of imagine the situation, but this has got to be a pretty important piece of it.
Oh, absolutely. And it can be very particular. So, you know, you have certain scenarios. For example, you know, I think we've talked about this before, the Terry Schiavo case, right, in Florida, mm-hmm. where, you know, there were no instructions as to what would happen in a situation where, life-sustaining measures were the only way that she could stay alive. You know, absent instruction, it's a very difficult process. And you can tailor those instructions to very specific scenarios. So, what the quality of life, you know, would be while you're on life support, the types of life support that you would be willing to have administered versus those that you would not, the duration as to how long you'd want them to continue those life-sustaining measures, and when there should be a removal. So a lot of things can be, you know, clearly spelled out and should be clearly spelled out in the document that we use in this instance would be the living will. But you could also spell this out in your healthcare proxy as well, so your healthcare proxy understands what your wishes are, in addition to, you know, the very specific instructions you leave in your living will.
How much thought should someone give that? I mean, should I be prepared in just in terms of thinking about these different types of scenarios when I come in to meet with my attorney, or do you kind of just help walk through and guide someone on, okay, what about this situation or if this happens? Because I'm just quickly thinking, like, I don't know if I would be prepared just going into the office to meet for all the different scenarios that could pop up.
Yeah. And I would say the majority of people who do come in aren't that specific as all that. They come in with a general notion that, I don't want to be kept alive in this circumstance, but I designate a person to make those decisions for me. And we call that the God power informally. And essentially what you're doing in that scenario is you're delegating the power of God to someone else, right? Yeah. To decide when your life ends, what treatments you take. And, you know, just for some people they're comfortable with that and that's sufficient. But sometimes the person who's receiving that power, you know, to them, it's a great burden, right? Because if they absent instruction, it can be an agonizing, decision. So, you know, I remember when my mom passed away, you know, I was her proxy and I knew what her instructions were. And even though I was clear as to what those were and my family was clear with regards to what those were, I still agonized over it. And I still sat down and had a family meeting, you know, with my dad and my sister to discuss, you know, the best course of action. And so even with instructions, sometimes it can be agonizing. So to just, leave it to one person to decide and not give them any instruction, I think you're doing them a disservice.
All right. Last one on our list, the medical information you need to know when you're putting together your estate plan is the final disposition authorization. I guess I never really thought about, you know, making a determination on who would have authority over your body when you pass away. I just assumed it just kind of went to your spouse, your closest family member. But I guess there are situations where people are having more specific plans made.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we do recommend to clients, if they can, to make as many of those arrangements known well in advance as possible. A lot of people have an aversion to doing that. And part of it is a superstition, I guess. They don't want to talk about these types of issues and these types of things, you know, while they're alive. But I think the more clarity you can provide, the better. It's important to have, you know, these types of things laid out and spelled out, and the financial arrangements, that they also be laid out. Because, you know, oftentimes what happens is, you know, there's an account that's set aside for the payment of the funeral expenses, but there's no beneficiary on the account. Or, you know, they think that because someone has a power of attorney that they'll be able to go in and get that money when you die. But the problem is the power of attorney, you know, dies with you. So, you know, planning these things out is probably a better idea and certainly a more effective idea. And so, you know, oftentimes arranging these things in advance is a very, you know, beneficial way of making sure that, you know, what it is that you want to happen with your remains happens. The other thing that is the case, and a lot of people don't realize that, is when you prepay for a lot of these things, you know, funeral arrangements, things like that, there's a significant savings over what it costs when you're doing it in the immediate sense, something like 40%. Oh, wow. It's a significant savings. And so, you know, making sure that gets taken care of in advance can also save your estate a lot of money. The other thing that's available in New York, for example, is a burial account, right? So similar to, I don't know if you're old enough to remember the old Christmas clubs, but they're basically accounts that people used to put money in, and then Christmas time, you know, they would deposit a couple of dollars every week or whatever it was. Then right around Christmas time, they cash it out and use it to buy Christmas gifts. Well, you could do something similar with a burial account. You can set it up with they're regulated by the state. They're you know, FDIC insured, and they're maintained at funeral homes. And you know, it's an account that you can, you know, put together, deposit, and upon your death, your heirs are able to use that that account to pay for the expenses. So there's a lot of different planning aspects to dealing with your remains and your final disposition that, you know, if you plan properly, we'll avoid a lot of agony for people who are already grieving and dealing with a lot of stress, you know, once you're gone.
Well, a lot to think about from the medical side, and probably some things maybe you hadn't yet, like myself, a few things I would not have planned for ahead of estate plan. So that's why we wanted to bring this conversation up and go through it today with Ted to make sure that you have thought about some of these things before you go in. And if you have questions for Ted, want to kind of follow up on any of these items, or just kind of curious about something on your own, you can always log on to latsislawfirm.com. That is the website, and the phone number is 718-233-2903. And I guess just kind of finishing out, Ted, it's always important with anything you decide, you want to communicate this with your family and any of these decision makers before you actually put it down on paper, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, thank you for listening to New York's Asset Protection Roundtable. It's a Three Pillars of Protection program. For Ted Alatsis over at the Alatsis Law Firm in Brooklyn, New York, I'm Ben George. Take care.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.